Children, have you ever listened to someone who just talks and talks and talks and talks, and the thought comes to your mind, please come to the point? Now, we should all try very hard to be patient, to be kind, to listen well to what people say when they speak. But some people just never seem to get to the point. They never seem to get to what they mean to say. And so we need patience. We can sometimes feel that way about a sermon, can't we? Or about spiritual matters. Just explain it simply. Help me understand. In this preparatory message, with God's help, we want to try to do just that. We often hear in sermons, we read in Scripture, over and over, two words. And there may have been times when we wanted just to simply have those two words explained. Two words that are really foundational to the Christian faith. So much so that the Apostle Paul, when he summarized all that he had been preaching and teaching, did so by using these two words. In the chapter we read, he spent 3 years in Ephesus, and he made reference using other words to his preaching and teaching, but when he got to the point, he said, basically, what I've been saying these 3 years comes down to these two words, repentance and faith. And so in this preparatory message, we want to simply consider these two words. Simple enough, I hope, that even our children can understand. Our text is Acts 20:21. Paul's summary is this: testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So our theme is repentance and faith. What does repentance toward God mean? And what does faith toward Jesus Christ mean? As I mentioned, the Apostle Paul, and it was somewhat unusual for him, he spent 3 years in Ephesus. He was now on his way back from Jerusalem, back from Troas to Jerusalem. He made it a point on his journey to stop somewhat near this city of Ephesus where he had labored for those years. And what I read a moment ago, that whole passage, was what he said to those elders at that time. He talked about his ministry in terms of the gospel of the grace of God. He said the preaching of the kingdom of God. But when it came to what he preached, when it came to the substance of his message, he used these two words, repentance and faith. Words that are simple in themselves, and yet words that somewhat sadly are still confusing to many today. And he said he testified both to Jews and Greeks, meaning pretty much to everybody, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Since these are central, fundamental, foundational to the Christian faith, then they're also essential to a right participation in the Lord's Supper. We can't miss these two things. And so let's begin with the first, repentance toward God. What does that mean? The Greek word translated repent literally means to change one's mind. But of course, to understand how Scripture uses this word, what Scripture means by this word, we have to say a bit more. We can change our minds, children, about lots of things. If I were at your house and you offered me a variety of ice creams, I might say, well, I'll have vanilla, but then maybe change my mind. Oh, you have that? I'll try that. That's not what repentance means, that kind of changing our mind. In the Bible, we take changing the mind and we add something to it. We add sorrow, sadness to it. In other words, I am changing my mind because I'm regretting something. I'm sorry about something. Something I did, or something I said, or something I thought. Sin. So I'm not just changing my mind because I prefer something else. I'm changing the way I think. I'm changing the way I act because I see that it was wrong. It was sin. So changing the mind, sorrow, and then we have to add one more thing, and that is repentance toward God. So that means I'm not just sad because I did something wrong. I'm not just regretting doing something because it bothers me that I did it or harmed others that I did it. That can be involved. But for repentance to be repentance, there must be a grieving over sin, a confessing or telling my sin to God, sin as it offends God, as it is something against his laws. So that anything else that we think is repentance is not repentance without God. So putting it all together, repentance in a biblical sense means changing of mind, changing the way I think, changing what I value, changing what I'm doing because I'm sorrowful, truly sorrowful, that I sinned against God. Three things. And repentance is a gift. As sorrowful as repentance is, it's a gift. Why a gift? Without repentance, we're lost. We repent because God opens our eyes to see our sin. God helps us, causes us to see that we must change, to see that we have offended our good God. We, in other words, have done evil in God's eyes. So that is repentance toward God. And then maybe to help us get a handle on that, you may wonder, well, what does that look like? Scripture helps us. So, for example, first, let's see the need for change in a person's life. On Pentecost, when Peter was preaching and the Holy Spirit was working, when the reality of sin, their sin, the people's sin, became real and deep, This is what the need for change looked like. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They knew they were in trouble now. They now realized they had sinned deeply against God, and it brought them to a standstill. They knew something had to change. They didn't know what to do or how to do it. And that's why their cry was, "What shall we do?" The need for change can also be seen in the life of the Philippian jailer. He was at the point, boys and girls, of taking his own life because he thought the earthquake allowed all the prisoners to escape. And that means he would be in big trouble. So what did he say to Paul and Silas? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he wasn't just asking them save from the Romans when they found out his prisoners got away. But all of a sudden, it sank in, the singing of Paul and Silas at midnight, the way they were living their lives, even in prison after being beaten. Something connected, and his need was great, and he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" He knew something had to change, but he too was at a standstill. He didn't know what could be done, how he could be saved, so he asked. He had to know. And with this need for change comes great guilt, comes this sense that I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve judgment. So, for example, the prophet Micah, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord." Why? "Because I have sinned against him." Which means I know that I deserve the wrath of God because of my sin. Children, you might remember in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, Jesus, as it were, puts words in the mouth of that son as he's returning to his father. What does that convicted, guilt-ridden son say? "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son." So this conviction of our sin drives us to a desperate need for change. It changes our thoughts about what's important and what isn't. Sin increasingly begins to appear ugly. God's mercy begins to appear attractive. Guilt and sin begin to weigh us down. And so we must turn to God for help. And that's the last part. It brings us, if it's repentance, it brings us to God. And we come there. We come to him humbled, broken, guilty. And yet, we come anyway, because we have to. We begin, there's nowhere else to turn. There's no one else to turn to. Do you know this repentance toward God? Have you experienced it? This is not mere conviction, I've done something wrong. It's not just sorrow because I messed up my life or the life of others. Have you felt the weight? Have you felt the guilt? Have you seen to some extent the heinousness of sin? Do you know deep in your heart, I have to change. I must change. I need mercy. I need help. And not just any change. And not just people's help and mercy, But has your sin, has your guilt, has your sorrow brought you to God? Has it brought you to where Peter pointed the convicted sinners on Pentecost, or where Paul pointed the convicted jailer in his hour of need? In every case, God's faithful servants lead such repenting sinners to Jesus Christ and what he has done. You will never find the apostles or Jesus saying, you need to do better. You need to do more. They don't say to sinners, pray more. Ask for a new heart. Wait till you know that God has begun a work in you. No, they told lost sinners who were being awakened to their state and condition to repent toward God, to turn from their wicked ways. Or, as Peter said on Pentecost, save yourself from this untoward generation, meaning stop going along with the crowd. Cease from your wicked ways. Don't continue going down the broad way that leads to hell. In fact, beloved, everywhere we turn in Scripture, you meet this word, repent. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. Peter preached it. Paul preached it. You must turn. You must change. You cannot continue thinking as you do. You cannot continue loving sin as you do. You cannot live in sin as you do. You must stop. You must turn. And to do that, to be able to do that, you must turn to God. Paul said to the Colossians, they turned to God from their idols. In fact, going back to the Apostle Paul and his change of life, when he was told what his ministry would be, the Lord, through Ananias, said to him that he was to turn them, his hearers, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Now, even our children know that Paul couldn't make that change happen in people. But what God was saying, he was pleased to use Paul as an instrument. An instrument that God would use to awaken sinners far and wide to turn to God. Those of you who know the grace and power of God, you know this. You have experienced what it is to realize how sinful you are. You know what it is to be convicted to the core that you're heading in the wrong direction, that you're sinning grievously against God, our good God. And you're also convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt, I cannot help myself to change. You know what it is to know your need to change, but find yourself unable to sustain change for any length of time, especially at the heart level. But you also know what it is for God to draw you to himself, that you had to bring, and that you still bring, the whole sorry condition of your life and of your heart before the Holy One. You've had to confess it to him. In other words, you know what it is. Repentance toward God. And if you do know it, thank God for it. For this is not a work that you have done. Repentance toward God is his work. Natural man doesn't turn to God, we turn from God. So bless him for his awakening, for his convicting grace in your life. But what about those of us who don't know this? Where are we? Where are you? No repentance toward God? Are you so wrapped up in yourself that you only care about how wrongdoing affects you? That you don't really care about how your sins are against God? Worse still, do you still take delight in certain sins? You are not willing to bring them to God. You're not concerned about Him at all. The very God who gives you life, the very God who provides everything we have, who doesn't deal with us even to this very moment according to what we deserve. Or maybe there are some here somewhere between the two. Perhaps, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, you began well, but have since turned aside. You've lost your way. You've gone down bypaths of backsliding. Are you, dear friend, where you want to be? Are you asking yourself, how did I end up the way I am? And how do I return to what I once knew? Dear friend, you've known the way of repentance before. You found sweetness, even in moments where you confessed your sins to God, you poured out your life to Him. Will you not go back to that low and lovely place at His throne of grace, expecting the Lord's mercy, not for your sake, but pleading on Jesus' name, pouring out your heart again, seeking renewed forgiveness and cleansing? Repentance, a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction, with sorrow over sin, sorrow after God. You miss God. Can you relate? Will you bow and say with David, very simply, I have sinned against the Lord? Or with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Or Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. Or Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Are you willing? Have you been made willing to own your own sin and to own the righteous judgment of God against it? To acknowledge honestly, I deserve the judgment of God. God would be right and just to condemn me. Are you willing to renounce your sin? To condemn your sin, saying, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, or lay not the sin upon me wherein I have done foolishly and wherein I have sinned. Beloved, God is so gracious that He even gives us the very words that we are to bring to Him in repentance. Take with you words, says God, and turn to the Lord and say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. And how will God respond? How will our great and gracious God respond to a repenting sinner? He tells us. God's word says he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. And doesn't the Lord bring about this repentance in order that we should come to an end of ourselves and come to Jesus Christ instead? And coming to Christ, being drawn to Christ as a broken sinner, as a sinner grieving over our sins, grieving over my grieving of God, grieving over sinning against light and against knowledge. Is not that coming to Christ this way his gift to you, his mercy to you, where he doesn't leave you comfortable in your sins? Does he not assure you that coming to Christ as a miserable sinner is actually the Father's gift to the Son? All that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, shall come to me. And then the precious promise for the repenting, broken sinner who comes to him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is what repentance is all about. A change or turning of mind, heart, and life due to a sorrowing over sin and sorrow after God. A confessing to him how grievously we've sinned against him, but then bringing all of it, bringing the whole of it to him, bringing it to Jesus, because there's nothing else I can do or would do. I come to him for pardon, for mercy, for cleansing. If you're not sure that you've truly repented, if you can't find the words to describe what you've gone through, perhaps you can sing about it. Psalter 202, all stanzas.